Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck. ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. This is perfect.
Is this another Sean random?
Yeah, and this is a stadium song. This is, you hear this at the soccer match.
Right. Oh, yeah.
At the footy.
All the time. And how apropos. It's a word we don't use often enough, that we're playing this now, because this is really cool, and I'll explain to Simon why, especially for Sean and myself, this is really cool. We're bringing Jimmy along slowly.
Thanks.
It's true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Simon Borg is joining us now. He's the senior soccer editor at the Sporting News, which is pretty impressive.
That's a pretty decent job.
Yeah, and he was formerly the editor-in-chief of At MLS.
I'm surprised he didn't have to fight Mike DeCourcy for that job, too.
Yeah, because DeCourcy.
DeCourcy's a soccerhead.
Yeah, he is.
Mike DeCourcy is way above senior soccer editor. What are we talking about here?
not because he needs to do it, but because he would want the gig.
No, he's phenomenal. It's great to have a soccer ally in him. He's been covering the sport for a long time. And look, I looked up to Mike, and I haven't told him this, keep it professional, right, at the workplace. But, you know, I grew up watching him, and we all watch his college basketball analysis, and just as a fixture on the Sporting News. So I know he's on with you guys a lot. So I hope I can only match him for entertainment and expertise.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, he's a very close friend of mine. I texted him, told him you're going to be on the show, and he sent me a whole checklist of things that I have to report back to him on having you on. So we'll see.
You passed the first test.
You passed the first test. We will say
that. Be respectful to Mike.
Yes. all right. Here's Sean and I, for a very, very long time in our lives, have been soccer fans. English Premier League fans mostly, and
all right,
women's soccer, USA soccer, as so many Americans, that's the only American soccer they know. There is something going on here with our USMNT that to people like Sean and myself, and now Jimmy too, is really exciting.
Yeah, I don't have to root for England in World Cups anymore.
Right. Talk to us a little bit about this United States men's national team. And what's going on with them? How do we get here with them?
Yeah, so look, the men's national team, it's been a slow pathway. I'm sure you're all familiar with the fact that 1990 they got to the World Cup, and with a bunch of college kids, and that was a miracle in and of itself. Then they hosted, U.S. hosted the World Cup in 94. But since then, Major League Soccer started in 96, and we're going to tell the wider story. So then you had players slowly coming through the ranks, mainly through college to start. But now for the last 10 years, there's been a professional setup for the sport in the country where now we have young players coming through who are legit. And so what you had with the U.S. national team this past weekend was a lot of these young players and the best players on the team, 22 and younger, we're talking about. So Christian Pulisic, 22. Weston McKennie, 22. Gio Reyna, 18. These guys are at the top of their game already in Europe, and now they said, this is our national team now. Credit to the head coach. His name is Greg Berhalter. Mm-hmm. He brought these players in and said, you guys are going to take us to the 2022 World Cup, and it's a young squad. And they put their stamp on that team this weekend, and it was impressive to see. They took ownership of it. Pulisic got the penalty. He made the big play when it counted. Weston McKennie made big plays, and he carried that team on his back. Gio Reyna came up with a special play. So these young players, Tyler Adams, they said, this is our team, and they took it to a title, and they're going to give fans a lot of things to root for over the next few years.
I know this is a question that everybody who's ever covered soccer in the past 40 years has heard, but I'm in my 40s, and I've been hearing since I was little and playing, you know, as a 5 or 6 year old, the United States is a sleeping giant for soccer. There is no reason soccer is not the next big thing here in the States. Why in your opinion, has it taken, you know, that would have been 30 years ago. Why has it taken 30, 35 years for us to reach this point?
Well, the answer is easy. And I've seen it over the last 20 years. It's the infrastructure. It is having professional coaches and facilities so that kids, as they're coming through, they don't reach teenage years, and then there's nowhere for them to play.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for them to continue developing. And so now, not only do you have a pathway, but now you have these kids that have more elite competition at their age than when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. So this is why now the players that are coming through, and look, the U.S. has sheer numbers. That's why they're the sleeping giant. That's why U.S. is the sleeping giant. It's because with numbers, sheer numbers alone, and participants in the sport, if you can just up the overall quality of the players coming through, we're going to be a giant in the sport. And we're seeing it. Pulisic plays for Chelsea, and he's one of their best players. We have McKennie, one of the best players playing for Juventus in Italy. That's not a joke to get to Juventus. Gio Reyna with Borussia Dortmund in Germany. He's one of their prized assets. They expect huge transfer fee for him. So these players are where they're at. They're already, and this is the first wave.
Right.
These players are where they're at, and it's the first wave. So, and I'm telling you, the players that are coming through at these youth tournaments, the academy players coming through, they are legit. They are athletes. They are excellent soccer players. The combination of the two, I'm telling you, our American players are going to be among the best in the world, of the world, and it's already slowly happening. Pulisic, for me, he's a top 10 player in the world. You know, sure, you got the Mbappes and Ronaldo, but, you know, the Ronaldo and Messi, take them out of the equation. But when you're putting together the top prospects in world soccer, they're there.
Yeah. I just got chills listening to you talk about it, Simon. But here's the other thing. You talked about the infrastructure, which is absolutely the truth. And everybody growing up, and I'm a lot older than Sean is, I'm very old, but for as long as I can remember, really good, all kids when they're little play soccer. My two boys played soccer. You get to a point, and then they go, okay, I want to play baseball, yeah, or I want to play basketball, or well, now what you're going to have, when these kids are looking at the three you mentioned play, they're going to want to do that, and they're going to go, I don't want to play baseball. I want to play soccer. That's going to be incredible to watch.
Yeah, there's that, and then soccer, as you know, it's a global game, but it's also fans consume it digitally, and all, you know, all the next generation coming up, they're all, I mean, all connected digitally via digital platforms. And that's a lot of what you see through those platforms, is you see what's going on around the world, and you see the big events, and the Euros are coming up, and that'll be all over Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it. And so they grow up playing FIFA, and so they know all these players. There's so many kids who are introduced to the game through FIFA. So absolutely, the next generation, not only do they know the sport, but as you said, the players are already aspiring to be the next big thing. And the U.S. national team, every major event, the ratings, the buzz around on the men's side, the women's, it's already there, right? But on the men's side, the buzz just continues to grow with every tournament. And so that's why it was a real crushing blow for soccer that the U.S. didn't make the 2018 World Cup. But what it did is the powers that be doubled down. And I knew this would happen with a disappointment like that. There's already so much invested in the sport. They were not about to say, okay, we didn't make the World Cup. Whoa, is U.S. soccer. No, they doubled down. And, you know, there's just been the launch of a new elite youth league called MLS Next. And you know, everyone is just investing more and more in the stadiums and the practice facilities. It's really something to behold. So now we're just enjoying the product of all the investment that's been made so far.
So you mentioned MLS Next, and that leads me to what was my next question, because you came from MLS to Sporting News, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
How far away are we from keeping the homegrowns in our home league? Like, we've got Daryl DK, who's playing for Orlando now, but he was on loan out to Barnsley, and all indications are somebody in the English Premier League or somebody in one of the other European leagues is going to snatch him up.
Yes.
What do we have to do to keep those guys home? Is it just a matter of finances, or I guess my question is, what do we do?
Yeah, look, I think with some players, I don't know that you want to keep them here necessarily. So Daryl Dike is a fantastic player. But if Orlando, who have built one of those infrastructures that we were talking about with an with a youth academy and a stadium and training facilities, so if they can transfer Daryl Dike for $20 million, and by the way, that's the price tag that they that they put, and then the commissioner also got involved in that one and put a price tag on his name. But if they get $20 million, can you think about how many Daryl Dikes can be produced with $20 million? Again, with the infrastructure and all the players playing, and so it is a necessary part of the world soccer game. Everyone's involved in it, though. You know, Chelsea is even involved, and you know they buy up so many player contracts, then they send them out on loan at clubs around the world, and then they reap the benefits over the years. So the whole buying and selling of player contracts, that's part of the game. So you know, I wouldn't be disheartened by players who are transferred out. I would be more encouraged by the players coming through. And then when there is a player like a Pulisic coming through, and he did not come through a traditional MLS system. He played at one of the elite youth clubs in Pennsylvania, but did, you know, played a little bit for Philadelphia, the Philadelphia MLS team, but it was an invite basis.
Yeah.
But when you get a big star who's captured the imagination of the country, believe you me, the owners that run MLS, they will say, hey, it's time. Now it's time for us to fork over the big dollars. But it has to be a player, I think, that makes sense, that's marketable, that captures the imagination. But I think outside of that, it's a healthy part of the game. It's also telling the world, hey, we have players coming through here that can dominate in your leagues. And so that Weston McKennie didn't sign with Dallas, but went to, and now he's at Juventus.
Yeah.
And again, impressing there, it's raising the overall value of the U.S., the value of the U.S. player in the U.S. market. And it's helping to convince those abroad who still say, U.S., sleeping giant, sleeping giant, sleeping giant. And look, ultimately, it's going to take a great World Cup performance to convince those countries and the people who live in those countries. That's now a reality. American soccer is a reality. But it helps, again, to convince the perception, to change the perception. So it's happening, and I think it's going to be a healthy part. So Daryl Dike moving on would be good for him, good for his development, good for the national team, good for Orlando. And so as long as it's good for everyone across the board, it'll keep happening. Again, until that special player, that transcendent player comes through, and then you'll see big dollars going his way.
That is the best explanation I have ever heard of.
There you go.
Thank you for that.
And we're speaking with Simon Borg of now the Sporting News. This is amazing. I just saw this. Univision, the final between the U.S. men's national team and Mexico, over 4 million total viewers for the final, Univision reported. I mean, that's huge.
That's
huge.
Pretty good.
It was huge. It was on CBS Sports Network
in
English, and many were sharing the opinion on social media that had it been on a CBS, that, you know, there could have been a few million more to tack on to that.
Right.
And look, that slowly happened. So CBS gave great coverage to the Champions League final, but it's slowly happening. There's going to be a bunch of games on ABC from the Euros. ESPN is going to televise everything. So it's happening, but you're right. Huge numbers, and it's why, by the way, the U.S. And MLS is working so closely with Liga MX, the league in Mexico, because there is a natural rivalry that gets people watching. That's why you had 4 million people. It wasn't just because it was the U.S. and Mexico. It was the rivalry that made people watch. And by the way, as that game was going on, got to believe people were calling their, you know, their friends and family. I know I was doing it. You got to be watching this. It's crazy. So not surprised by the numbers, and it's going to continue. There's just a natural rivalry there, and it's going to just continue to develop.
Mm-hmm. And do you think when we look back in 5 years that game is going to be viewed as the warning shot to the world? hey, USA, we're here. This is our game now. Look out.
I don't know if it was going to be to the world, but here in the United States, for people who follow the U.S. men's national team, that game will be seen as a turning point. Here is the golden generation coming through of American players who, at their tender age, said, we're not going to lose to Mexico in a big-time final. We're not losing to Mexico. They clawed back.
Yeah.
I thought they were done. Yep. I thought when that first goal went in by Mexico in the second minute, it was over. It was done. How many goals are Mexico going to score? It's a young team. They're still kind of finding their way. No, they came back. They came back with a vengeance.
Yep.
And that excitement, that's going to convince people now that this World Cup qualifying campaign, and the U.S. better make the 2022 World Cup, but they should, and they should. They're just an elite. They have an elite group. They really do, compared to the rest of this region.
Yeah.
But what they do in the World Cup, that's us looking back based on what they'll do in that Qatar World Cup
right. To
this game and saying that's when that young generation took hold of this team.
All right. This was the first time we've spoken with you, and to be honest, I said to these two guys here before we talked to you, I can't believe he was on another show today. He didn't even wait for us to. But I can see why. You're absolutely fantastic, and we will be talking to you again real soon. And thanks so much for being on with us. It was great to have you, and we'll have you back real soon.
Hey, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Anytime you guys need me, I'm here, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Simon. See ya.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks, Simon.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy.
Wow.
He knows some stuff about some things. How
yeah.
about that?
Yeah, yeah, he does. He's great.
I mean, between everyone else we have, now we've got soccer.
Should
I mean,
we just keep adding to it? Especially since Sean and I are so brilliant.
We talked to him three or four more times. I'm going to be a soccer head.
Probably.
I'm starting to sponge up the knowledge.
If that happens. It doesn't happen with
you. Yeah, I don't have that much more room up there.
All right, coming up, another one of our favorites.
Yeah, she'll be happy we did a whole bit on Daryl DK.
Oh yeah. Caroline Darney will join us. ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins and Parrish in Georgetown.